Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Kevin Sample.
Good morning. I'll try that again. Good morning. I like it. I like it. Happy Sunday. It's amazing. It's already January 24th. Where's the year gone? Right? I want to welcome all of you online as well today. I especially want to recognize my dad, who I believe is going to tune in from Gridley, California, and my heart's with him today, and you'll understand more if you aren't aware, but it's an honor to bring today's edition of our Awesome God Sermon Series, and excited to open up God's Word as we are identifying different names of God in the Scripture and realizing that there's so much meaning behind our God's name. Yeah. And it just helps us understand His character better, His nature. And how many of you know we get messed up a lot of times in what our ideas about God are? And we need to go to God's Word to anchor our understanding of who He is, right? So we're going to do that today. So get your Bible handy, your device ready. In a few minutes, we're going to get into God's Word together. So the topic for today is really born, the name of God that we're going to focus on today is really born out of what's happened in my own life and family in the last couple of weeks. Some of you may not be aware, and I'm so thankful for many of you who have been praying, our prayer team and so many others, friends, praying for myself and my family, because 11 days ago, on the 13th of January, my mother went to be with Jesus. She had a long, hard battle with Parkinson's disease, and she's healed today. Amen. She's healed, she's free, and amen. And we are, our family's at peace, but we are still grieving that Mom's not with us here for now. It's so long, but we will see you again, right? And that's the hope we all have with our loved ones and those that go on before us in Christ. We have the hope. Yes, we do. We'll see you soon. But not yet. God's not done with us yet here. In His providence, my mom's time had come, and we are at peace. But it was a challenge. I will say that it was an incredible gift, a gift from God, that I was able to be there with my mom and my dad when she passed. I was able to go up on the weekend before and be with my mom and dad during those days. And painful, yes, but priceless. Priceless to walk with your family in times like that and to be there with my dad. And so out of these last couple of weeks, the name of our God that has become so much more real and precious to me and my family is Emmanuel, God with us. Because it is His presence that truly anchored our family in these last couple of weeks. In the days leading up to my mom's passing, she's on hospice. She passed right in our home. They had a hospital bed brought into my mom and dad's room, and she was right there. My dad was there. We were with her as she passed about 1 a.m. But it was His presence. It was God with us that anchored us and has anchored us. And so I want us to look in God's Word today, because I feel like what happens oftentimes is we have sort of relegated, or we think of Emmanuel, God with us, primarily at Christmas. We think of the birth of Christ and the prophetic word and the angel telling Joseph and Matthew about, you know, this child, his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. But today, I hope that a closer look in God's word from cover to cover will help us all to realize God with us is not just part of our Christmas celebration and warm feelings in December. God with us is meant to anchor us 24/7, 365 days a year. Because that's the heart, that's the nature, it's the name of our God. And you today may be walking through hard things like our family has in recent days. And we all need God with us, amen? And so we first find Emmanuel in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet actually foretelling the birth of our Savior. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Matthew records when the angel appeared to Joseph and told him about the birth and the child that Mary was carrying. Matthew says in 1:22 and 23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray. Father, today, in these moments right now, I pray that your word would come alive to all of us. Lord, I pray whether here in the building or online in living rooms and other places where people may be tuning in and participating in our service, Lord, I pray today that your word would come alive. Lord, that the name Emmanuel, God with us, would take on new and richer meaning for us. I pray that it would anchor us in 2021. And I pray, Lord, that we would leave this time together and go further into your presence in this day and the week and this year, Lord, with a strength and a hope and a courage to know that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in 1985, a relatively unknown songwriter by the name of Julie Gold, anybody know that name? I didn't. She penned the lyrics of a song about hopes and dreams of peace and harmony in the world, like so many songs do, right? Songs about hopes for no more war and conflict and struggle. And it was a nice song. And in the next few years, there were a few artists that covered the song and recorded it. Not a lot of traction, but it was in 1990. Bette Midler got a hold of it, and it became an instant hit. And you've probably heard it, or at least heard phrases of it. It's called From a Distance. And the chorus or the main phrase that is repeated and is remembered so often is, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. And it's the kind of lyric and this kind of song that is sung from a heart that is going through hard stuff. And when we live in a world and we all experience the pain of struggle, we face the pain of loss, like my family recently, and maybe I know many have lost loved ones, you know, in recent months, and it's just part of our human existence to face loss, whether it's loved ones or loss of a job, loss of hopes, disappointment. And so this song, From a Distance. But I'm going to confess to you, that song always irritates me. Because that's not the God we serve. The God we serve is not watching from a distance. He is near. He is closer than we realize. I think he's closer to you in whatever you're walking through today than maybe you realize. I know I've learned a lot recently. Painful struggles and hardships make us feel like God must be at a distance. How often is it our human response to pain and suffering and injustice? How often is our natural human response, God, where are you? Where are you? Why? Our human reaction is, if you cared, if you're God. But today, the good news of God's word, the good news that lives beyond our Christmas story, our good news is his name is Emmanuel, God with us. It's his nature. And he is here for each one of us today in the midst of our circumstances. And so I want to take us through a journey in Scripture, cover to cover. We got plenty of time today. You know, the first football game doesn't start for a couple hours. So we're going to journey from cover to cover, and I just want to highlight a few verses, and I want you to see a theme, a phrase that you find throughout Scripture that often we read past, that reflect on the nature of our God, Emmanuel. Let's start in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." And then God's famous rhetorical question, "Where are you?" As if he didn't know. But from the beginning, God creates a garden. He creates all that we have. He created man and woman in his image. He placed them in the garden, and then he came to walk with them. He came to the garden looking for them, because that's who he is. He didn't create the world and the garden and Adam and Eve. He didn't create it so he could go off somewhere and watch from a distance. He created because he is relationship. It's getting quiet in here. Amen all by myself is what I heard a preacher once say. So, amen. Genesis chapter 39, we have the familiar story of Joseph the dreamer. Son, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Joseph was a dreamer, and he had a number of dreams, most of which irritated and aggravated his family, his brothers, his mom and dad, because these dreams reflected that they're all bowing down to him somehow. And nobody understood, and he didn't even understand. But Joseph, he finds himself going through some very trying times. As you see from Genesis 37 to 50, you see the account of Joseph. But I want you to look in chapter 39, verse 2, verse 21, and verse 23. They all have a phrase that's common to all three verses. It's "the Lord was with," ooh, that was powerful, "Joseph." I'll try to tone that down. "The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master." Mind you, he was a slave. Unjustly sold into slavery. What about verse 21? "The Lord was with him." If you have a Bible in your lap that you're, you know, paper Bible, and you have a pen, I would encourage you, as we're going through all these scriptures, underline that one phrase. I mean, it's all good. You can underline it all. But do something to highlight those phrases. I'm going to point out, "the Lord was with him." Yeah. With him. In verse 23, the same thing. "The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care." He was in prison now. He goes from being a slave in a household. Then he gets unjustly accused. And then he gets thrown in prison. Very unjust. None of it right. In fact, he's trying to do the right thing, and he gets consistently injustice. But it says that the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Let's fast forward to the book of Judges, another familiar Bible account with Gideon. Gideon hiding out, trying to prepare some food for his family. Israel is under the oppression of the Midianite nation, and he is feeling like, where are you, God? As was the whole nation. They were under oppression, hardship. And in verse 12, the very first thing that is said to him by the angel of the Lord appearing to him was, the Lord is with you. Underline that. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Hiding out, least in your clan, the most insignificant clan. The Lord is with you. Hear those words today, all of you online. Hear the words. The Lord is with you in your, what you may feel is insignificant situation, that why would God pay attention? God is with you. He's not watching from a distance. Fast forward to 1 Samuel 16. This is where we start learning about David. It's shortly before we have the account of David and Goliath and all of this familiar Bible account of this young man who rises to eventually be probably the most influential, well-known king of Israel, right? But what was said of him in verse 18 of chapter 16, you can read it there. I'm just going to read the last sentence. And the Lord was with him. The Lord is with him, the servant who was talking to King Saul at the time. This young man needs, he's someone that could come and serve you, King Saul. The Lord is with him. Underline that. How about the words of King David in Psalm 23? We're very familiar with Psalm 23, right? Underline that phrase in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for, here you go, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. There is always going to be a valley of the shadow of death. There's always going to be dark valleys. Jesus told us that, right? Remember what Jesus said? In this world, you will have trouble. Why is it that when we have trouble, we assume God has left us? I mean, I'm relating. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here. It's such our human nature. There's trouble? Wait, I thought God was supposed to take care of my trouble. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear, for you are with me. You are with me. Psalm 46, there are a couple verses here that don't often get the attention that verse 10 does of this chapter. Psalm 46:10 is the verse that you'll find on a lot of plaques and posters, and it says, be still and know that I am God. Amen to that. But underline what it says in verse 7 and 11. They're the exact same phrase two times in one psalm. Twice in 11 verses. Maybe we should pay attention. The Lord Almighty is with us. Is there a theme here? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. The prophet Ezekiel, who spoke of things to come so often, very challenging book to understand and decipher. And yet, at the very end, the very last verse of the book, chapter 48, verse 35, the very last phrase, the name, this is speaking of the city of Jerusalem, the city of God. In this prophecy, the very end, after talking about all the dimensions and all the things, it says here in verse 35, and the name of the city from that time on will be the Lord is there. The most significant thing about Jerusalem is the fact that that's the dwelling place of God. That's the idea. Amen? Underline that. The Lord is there. In fact, that's the only place in Scripture, speaking of names of God, that the Hebrew translation of the Lord is here is Jehovah Shammah. It's the only place in the Bible where that's used. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He is the God who is with us. He didn't build a city. He didn't give dimensions of a city just to be off somewhere else. It's because he wanted to dwell there among us. And we don't have time to get into all the scriptures that help us see God with us in the life of Christ. But the very fact that we have this huge cross on our wall is a constant reminder that the God of the universe came and became one of us for the purpose of saying, I'm with you. I know your plight. I know, and I've come to bring an answer. And that cross reminds us he is with us. He didn't just send somebody. He came himself. That's the nature of our God. Emmanuel, God with us. Revelation, let's get to the end of the book, right? Let's just go right to the end. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, a very popular, you know, I grew up in church. This is one of the verses that you learn as a kid growing up in church. I am here. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Is there any picture more fitting for what it means to be with someone than coming to your house, knocking on your door, coming in, sitting down at the table and eating together? Is there a more intimate picture of what it means to be with? That's the nature of our God. That's what he has been doing on the door of our hearts forever. And many of us have opened the door. We have invited him in. We put our faith in Jesus as our Savior. And he comes in and he dwells. He brings the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is with us and in us. Amen? But are you living like that today? Are you living like Jesus is sitting at your kitchen table with you? How many times do we sit at our kitchen table and we're wiping our brow and we're having arguments with our family members? We're trying to figure out how to do this or that. Emmanuel, God with us, is sitting there at the table saying, I'm here for you. Are we paying attention? And have you invited him there? He wants to come in. And don't miss this. He's the one knocking at your door. The nature of our God is he's always been the pursuer. Yes.
That's great.
He's not off somewhere waiting for us to find him. He's not somewhere waiting for us to learn how to pray the magical prayer or to fulfill enough, you know, perform well enough. The nature of Emmanuel, God with us, is that he is the one knocking. He's the one pursuing. It says that he came when we weren't looking for him. I hope you're getting this. This is who our God is. He is with us and he is pursuing us. And let's go to the end of the book. Let's go to chapter 21, the second to the last chapter of the Bible. And let's read about the heart and nature of God in verses 1 through 3. Excuse me. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And here it is in verse 3. Get your pen out. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." That's the end game. Why all that we face? Why everything? Why creation? Why all of this? Why the cross? What's the point of all of this? It's because the God of the universe has always wanted relationship with us. He's always wanted to be with us.
Right.
So, if that wasn't enough, the very last scripture I want to highlight in our journey through the Bible actually comes to the final words of Jesus before he ascended to be with the Father in Matthew 28. Do you remember what the very last thing that Jesus said was? No, it wasn't go and make disciples. Relax. He did say that in that passage. But I want you to pay attention to and underline, if not already, what is the very last thing? What's the very last thing he said in Matthew 28, verse 20? Is that enough dramatic pause? He said, "And be sure of this, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Always.
I am with you. I am with you. Sorry for all the withs. I am with you always. That's the last thing he said. That's most important. What is it that's going to allow us to go through all we go through, to make disciples, to tell others about Christ, to live a life that shines his light? How is it that we're going to do this? It's keeping in mind and being aware and ever present. He is with us. That's the point. He is with us. So, I want to finish today, and I'm not done, but I'm getting close. I want to finish by talking about how God is with us in the fire, because that's where it's the hardest. When we're going through it, when we're going through the stuff of life, that's when we battle those emotions and those thoughts that feel like God's not with me. God has left. I've done something wrong. And then we start accusing him. And then whatever it may be, it's the natural human expression, right? God is with us in the fire. But if God is with us, why all this death, sickness, injustice? You know, we prayed a lot over the last year for my mom during our hours of power every day of the week. Many of you were standing in agreement with me and my family. We prayed over my mom that God would heal her, God would raise her up, that he would restore her mind and her body. And we prayed those prayers of faith all the way up to the end. God, don't you care? Where are you? I mean, COVID-19 throughout this last year. I mean, I know that some people have had a harder battle with it than others, right? And we've even had probably some loved ones who have passed. And we've prayed for 44 plus weeks, right? We've been praying prayers of faith. The Bible says to pray prayers of faith. The Bible says that Jesus is our great physician. And yet, we're still battling. We're still in the fire, right? Where is God? We're going to resolve this tension, but stay with me. Just all the loss. I mean, the effect on the economy. All the politics. What's happening? What's going to happen? Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe your position, your company, maybe your business was a casualty of all that's happened over the last year. There's uncertainty. We've prayed. Maybe it's been weeks. Maybe it's been months. Maybe it's been years of financial struggle or been praying for favor. Where is God? The reality is we don't have all the answers. We can't know all the answers. But one thing we can know is that Emmanuel is God with us. I don't understand why the Lord allowed my mom to deteriorate with a disease and pass at 77. But what I do know is the nature of our God that has walked with our family through it all along. And I will tell you this, the celebration of my mom at our memorial service last Sunday, countless, over and over, we had different loved ones and friends get up and give testimony and memories of my mom. Everyone was struck by the fact that in recent years, in my mom's battle, never once did she complain. She had a heart of gratefulness to God. You know why? Because of his presence.
Yes. Yes.
His presence. If we stay focused on why do we have troubles, I can guarantee that you are going to be in distress all of your life. You need to reconcile that expectation that's not biblical. The expectation that God is supposed to relieve all of our troubles the way we want them relieved.
Right.
He is God. And the peace and the strength that we have is that he is with us in the midst of it. He's with us. In fact, what I learned about God through the walk with my mom and dad, and being there with my dad when my mom passed, and seeing his emotion come out, and in the days following, praying with him and hugging him and hearing him say, I don't want her back the way she was before she died, but I just want to hold her. You know what I heard in that? And what I realized is that my dad was expressing the nature of God. God's nature is to be with us, just like my dad just wanted to be with his wife. It's who our God is, and we are in his image.
Yes.
And that's why death is so painful for us, and why separation and loss of things is so hard, is because we were made to be together, and our hearts want that. And just know that the God who himself is going through so much heartache because so many are turning from him and not being with him, he's never going to give up. He's always going to be there for us. He will always, always, always. It's who he is. It's his name. It's Emmanuel. He's with us. And he's going to stand with us. And so today, my dad is able to move forward. Yes, he's still got heartache. He's still grieving. But he knows that God is with him. He knows that God has meaning and purpose for the days left that he has, turning 80 in a couple months. And he's going to see his wife again. But instead of being angry and frustrated and why God, he's thankful for the 58 years he had with her. He's thankful for all of the precious memories. He's thankful that God has walked them through so much and he will continue. You know why I have this up here? This is it's not a big coffee mug. I'm not a coffee drinker. This is a graphite crucible. And it sits on my desk at home, and I've brought this up at a number of Beam-In events. You know, a crucible is designed to withstand high temperatures. I mean, 1,000 degrees, because precious metals take high temperature to melt and purify, right? And the Bible speaks to this in Proverbs chapter 17 and Proverbs 21. It speaks of the crucible and how God, just like a crucible tests and purifies precious metals, God tests our heart. And the reason I'm bringing this crucible and this image today is that oftentimes when we think of a crucible and the heat rising in our life, we think of God turning up the heat. You know, God's, you know, okay, he knows I need to grow or whatever, so he's turning up the heat. Well, he obviously is allowing heat to rise, for sure, right? But life brings heat. We live in a fallen world. There's a lot of bad that happens in this world, and the heat rises. The reason I bring this to you today is not to say, hey, get in the crucible, God's going to heat it up, and he's going to work in your life. That is all true. What I want you to see today and understand is God gets in the crucible with us. God's in there with you. And so today, if you're feeling like, where are you, Lord? And you're going through it and you feel like you're walking through the fire, be reminded. Yeah, we talked about all these guys in the Bible that God's with them, right? Joseph didn't, you know, when Joseph went into slavery and went into the prison, God didn't keep him from going into prison. God didn't keep Joseph from being unjustly accused. What about the three Hebrew children? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did he keep them from being thrown into the fire? But what happened? He got in there with them. He was the fourth one in the fire. That's who our God is. And that's where I find hope for 2021. Where do you find hope? It's definitely not going to be in our government. It never has been. It never has been. Amen. Our hope is in our God. So, Emmanuel is more than part of the Christmas story. Emmanuel is the name and the nature of our God. And today, I am strengthened in a time of grief and mourning in my family. I am strengthened by his presence. And I'm thankful that this is who he is. And whatever comes our way in 2021, we're going to get through it. We're not just going to get through it. We're going to be victorious through it. We're going to be overcomers. We're going to learn from it. We're going to get stronger. And we're going to be there for one another. And let me tack this on the end of my message. God with us speaks about the importance of each other. It speaks about you and I being the presence of God in each other's lives. God speaks to us through each other. God comforts us through each other. Why do we talk about life groups so much? Because life groups is how we live the Christian life. It's not a program. It's not an event. It is who we are. If we're not doing life groups, what are we doing? We're just coming to an event once a week. You know, when my mom passed, And then we were making plans to get Kelly to be able to come up and be with us for the weekend for the memorial service. Many of you know that my mother-in-law, Patty, is living with us and has stage 4 lung cancer, and she needs care at this time. I called my life group. I called guys in my life group and said, guys, I need help. And we got people in this church that came over. You can't outshout me. Amen. I love it. Bring it. It was the brothers in my life that stepped up and helped coordinate people in this church to come and be with my mother-in-law last weekend so that Kelly and our whole family could be together to honor my mom. You got a life group? There's one waiting for you. There's brothers and sisters in Christ that are want to be Jesus with you and to encourage you. Would you bow your head? Lord, thank you today that your very nature, thank you that your very nature is God with us. Thank you that you're not watching from a distance. Thank you that even today, the first weekend that my dad's by himself, he's not by himself. Lord, you're with my dad. Lord, your presence is strengthening him. And Lord, I thank you that today your presence is strengthening everyone that's here, everyone online. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that sustains us and causes us to triumph in trial. Lord, to be stronger through the fire. Lord, thank you that you are our strength, and I pray for each one in this place today. Lord, that new hope would rise up, new faith would rise up. No, we don't have all the answers. We can't understand all the whys, but what we can know is that you're holding us, you're right here with us, you're strengthening us. Lord, renew us today. Lord, we look forward to the days ahead because we know we're not going forward without you. You're walking with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.